Episode 111. Paul is in a rather snippy mood today.
Very snippy.
Very snippy. He's given attitude to the crew, to the cast, and now apparently to you. You didn't feel like shouting out 111. This is what you do every week.
Well,
today,
I was trying to decode it from binary into decimal.
Right.
I think he's brilliant.
So obviously that would be
pointless.
Seven.
Lame.
It'd be seven.
Boring.
It'd be this many.
Right.
Seven.
Anyway. We got a lot of comments last week, and a lot of people talking about Windows Phone. A lot of people happy to have me back.
Tons of people happy to have you back.
Yeah,
including me.
No, not so much. And Herb went and asked what Words by Post is, which by now he has figured it out because he challenges me constantly, and I'll let him post as to who wins most of the games.
Yeah,
we
and
play.
he plays with me constantly, but he doesn't really challenge me. So it's nice to.
That's
you know,
good. Paul Sheets.
Contend my 100% streak of winning everything.
He's the snotliest cat this town has ever seen, baby.
Anyway, I figure we should just get right to the nuts and bolts of it all and start the show, since Mr. Attitude over here is making this less than pleasant for me.
I do want to give one shout out to someone on Twitter.
All right.
It was Philip Frabbit, who...
Philip Frabbit?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a real name or not, but his at name is Quilnux. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that either. Anyway, he mentioned that Trade Wars, which I had mentioned in the last week's episode, is the best door game of all time on bulletin board servers. So,
Best what game?
Door.
Oh.
You probably never played ASCII games, or ASCII as some people pronounce it.
No. Is
that
on my Xbox?
No, it's not. It was a terminal game that you'd have to use a modem to call into other local computers.
Sounds really fun.
Super awesome.
It sounds
game.
Really fun.
But
glad you guys got to talk about that
anyway,
on Twitter.
Anyway, wanted to give him a shout out for that. And yeah, that's all I wanted to do.
All right, let's start the show.
Not snippy.
Snippy. All right, everybody. Very exciting for Windows Phone and Windows Phone developers.
Super exciting.
Super exciting. They just announced they released beta 2 of the Windows Phone SDK 7.1 just last week.
Yeah.
Towards the end of
the
last week.
The beta 2 refresh.
Yeah.
From the Mango Connect site.
That's right. You can read all about it on the Windows Phone developer blog.
Other fun news. Last week, the Windows Phone OS has RTM'd.
Yes.
So that's going to be pretty sweet. I think that there are...
It doesn't mean that you're going to have it just yet. It's not like you can go get it right now.
No,
but
you
it's
can't.
Done.
It is. It is. It's gone gold.
It's gone gold.
And but you can get an update onto your phone if you dev unlocked your phone for your Mango update. It doesn't give you the RTM build of the OS, but it does give you build 7712. So there are full instructions on the Windows Team blog about how you can update your phone, and it gives like all sorts of great reasons why they did a refresh of the beta. Before the OS is actually released.
Right, and Cliff Simpkins actually wrote a really very thorough blog post, and he says there's a ton of new things that improvements that you'll get with the beta 2 refresh. But his top five, which I'll just rattle off here, is the APIs are now locked.
So what does that mean?
Well,
really?
It means you can feel confident to start getting ready for submitting your apps next month.
Yeah, that's right. Because a lot of people know as developers, a lot of them want to be on the cutting edge of building apps, and they want to start making the big bets on new platforms. And the challenge with that is that if APIs change, they need to change their code and rebuild their app and republish it, which would be incredibly annoying. But now
what they're saying
is that the platform and the update is now stable enough that they say the APIs are locked. So feel free to start developing lots of apps now so that you can be completely prepared for the RTM launch.
Which means more money for you. The emulator now has screenshot capability. I'm just going to rattle through these real quick. The profiler has been greatly improved, which includes providing memory profiling. You can install NuGet, which is, you can put that into the free version of the Windows Phone SDK tools, which is to increase your productivity.
Okay.
And the also includes an initial peek at the marketplace test kit with the RC release. So, all of this and more.
And more.
And more. We'll link, of course, to the Windows Team blog, but you can just head on over to the normal Windows Phone developer site and get it.
Yeah, or just click on the link right here if
you're
watching
in
the silver light.
With this story, I just want to mention that they also just announced that the first handsets to be offered with...
Is it going
to
be ours? Is it
going to
be ours?
I wish it was, but it's going to those in Japan.
Oh, first handsets for Windows Phone, codenamed Mango.
What's up with that? Where's the love?
I think there are new classifications of phones that are coming out, and because we had RTM last week, we're giving those builds to those manufacturers, and they're ready to drop. Maybe they designed those phones for Mango.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
It's all
I feel neglected. You know how sometimes people post to our message boards, like, I can't watch this in Switzerland, or why are you talking about this service that I can't get in New Zealand? That's how I feel right now.
Yeah?
I feel like the Americans are being neglected.
Like, we just got Spotify here in the U.S., so we're kind of getting that. And this fiscal year, we just got a new budget for Ping, so maybe we'll go to Japan.
Go get ourselves some phones.
That's right.
There we go. Win-win.
All right.
All right, Paul. So at this year's past E3, the Microsoft press conference, I'm sure you watched it.
Oh, totally.
Okay, we gave a preview of something that looked really cool. Ballmer actually showed it off,
yeah.
And it was called Avatar Connect.
Yeah, it showed off his avatar being all bald with, big eyebrows that he was raising.
Mm-hmm. And essentially, you can stand in front of your Kinect, and it now senses not only you and your basic gestures like this for playing a game, it knows when you raise your eyebrows, it knows when you turn your head this way or this way, it knows when you open your mouth, it knows when you smile, and your avatar...
Does it know that you're always opening your mouth, Laura?
But pure genius flows out of it.
Are you a mouth breather?
No, I'm not. Are you a drooler?
Yeah, I do. I drool quite a bit.
I could see that about you.
Yeah.
Did you snore?
I have. I've woken up like...
Other people?
In an airport, just leaning back and hearing someone snoring, and it woke me up, and then the snoring stopped, and I was like, oh, God, that was me. Anyway, Avatar Connect.
That's probably what our audience is doing right about now. Oh, God, Paul's done talking. Anyway, Avatar Connect, according to my personal research and an article on Xbox Live's Major Nelson's blog, it is now available. So you can go and you can play with it. I'm going to give you a quick story about my personal experience with Avatar Connect. So what I did was I had me in front of, this was at work, so me in front of my Kinect doing my thing, and my friend Will in front of his Kinect doing his thing, and we invited each other to a room, and so Will's little, and it actually was behind a news anchor desk, you get all these different sets that you can hang out in.
Sounds fascinating.
It is! So Will's little avatar came into my little room, and there he was on my screen, and I was on his screen, and we were looking at each other and talking, and what we ended up doing was recording a voiceover, so this was for a video that I was working on. So I had little digital Laura with a desk to little digital Will. We should do this. We should do Ping Digital. I wouldn't even have to be in the same room as you. Bonus.
Sure.
Bonus. Anyway.
Is there a punchline to the story?
It's just how cool it is. How cool is that? That's cool.
Okay. I guess I need to play with this
myself.
You don't
think it's cool?
That you can talk to somebody down the hall?
Well, first of all, he can be anywhere in the world with a Kinect. He doesn't have to be down the hall. Second of all, it's everything that you're doing digitally recreated on my television all the way in wherever I am.
Yeah, I guess I think the really cool things about this are what we covered a couple weeks back, where this could potentially change healthcare.
People that want to
keep their veil of anonymity, still have the interaction.
Yeah, that's cool too, but it's not as cool as watching little digital me go like this.
That's true. I mean, I could just watch that.
Behind closed doors,
when she lets her hair hang out. But it's not nearly as cool as when you took my avatar on my Xbox and it jumped into one of your Windows Phone ads.
That was cool too.
That was what's going on here? Why is DJ Cod not getting some royalties for this commercial? And then Laura's like, oh yeah, well.
Right, because you can now get the Windows Phone as an accessory for your avatar. Check it out. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll give it to you.
Maybe. All right, Laura.
Yeah, Paul.
Microsoft is doing some fantastic research these days.
I know this.
We are trying to figure out better ways of heating things. You know why?
Because it's cold in Seattle?
Exactly, because it's been freaking cold in Seattle.
Because it's cold, yeah.
We had 78 minutes of summer this year.
It was glorious.
Ridiculous.
I made the most of them.
But seriously, Microsoft is doing a bunch of research and getting into the whole green IT thing like we've done for many, many years. And the research that's been done shows that there may be a way to start using all of the heat that's generated from the massive data centers that we have to power our cloud story and use that heat to either heat up buildings or heat up water and be able to transfer that, so it's not just something that needs to be cooled with air conditioning and then use up more electricity.
Use up more power, yeah. I mean, it seems to me like this is pretty obvious. You know, I guess in the article it said, like, the right now 3% of the nation's energy consumption is by these data centers.
I don't think it's by data centers, but it's by computers in general.
By computers in general. And then 6% of the nation's usage is heating homes.
Yep.
So you sort of,
yeah,
you know,
that's nearly 10% of our usage.
Right, but if you take the 3% used by computers and subtract it from the 6%, then we're only using the total of the 3%.
I think we're still using 6% there because the 3% just takes out 3% of the energy. But then there's also going to be net loss because it's not as an efficient
right,
use.
Right, I did factor in the net loss.
So
either way, this is hopefully something that comes to fruition. My question for you, Paul, I mean, you probably won't have an answer, but I'll pose it.
Doesn't mean I can't pretend like
no,
I have
you can,
an answer.
You're really good at acting. Why do they think that they've written this article and done this research specific to cloud servers? Because we've had data centers that use massive amounts of energy, and I'm sure, you know, it's hot in the data center here in this building if you go into the computer room.
I think that they're using cloud because cloud usually implies that there is a massive amount of servers and that they're all of a certain homogenous type where it's, like the Microsoft way of doing cloud computing is there are these massive pallets, like a semi-truck size set of servers that all come in a big unit. So thinking of this from the Microsoft's cloud servers point of view is, like, because we can manufacture these in mass, we can also find, like, standard ways to cool it and to use that heat for other sources.
Gotcha.
So that's my guess of how they're saying this is cloud. Or maybe they just like using the new buzzword of cloud
data
center.
But this sounds like something that they can attack on the larger scale with the cloud, and then should the technology work properly, it could trickle down to other data centers as well.
Yeah, either other data centers, or I don't know if there would ever be a consumer version of this where it's like, let's take the heat from appliances or other computers or other devices in your home and refactor.
You know,
that.
In my office at home, when I have a little door that my desktop tower sits in, and when sometimes I have to open it up because it gets so hot in there.
Yeah.
If we could channel all the heat that's locked in my little cabinet that houses my computer, I mean, I could at least have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe you could just unplug your USB coffee charger and use that.
I don't even drink coffee.
Yeah, I don't even know what coffee is.
Makes me crazy. And continuing with Microsoft's history of giving things away, and, you know, we're constantly giving things away, helping
like
poor
Internet
nations.
Explorer, we've been giving that away for forever.
Right. And also things that matter to people, like computers. For those less fortunate, and training for people who need to be certified in certain areas of software and software design, software engineer. We are giving away $2 million to support the Appalachian workforce.
Okay.
Here, they're going to supply them with hardware and computers and laptops and, you know, giving people solutions to help them find work and educate them in technology.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, this $2 million is going to be used over the next 6 years to spur that economic development. I think it's pretty interesting that each of the different states can get up to, like, $150,000 in software. So that's...
And speaking from personal experience, when I was, I'm going to go with around 12, you used to hear those, this is a true story, and you would watch those commercials where Summers or Struthers would come on and say, for less than a cup of coffee, you can sponsor a child in need. So I wanted to help sponsor a child in need, and then I sponsored a little girl from the Appalachian Mountains because it's a impoverished area of our nation. So I feel a connection with that area.
So have you kept up with her? Like, have you found out how her grandchildren are now doing?
I did it for, I'm going to go with about, I was 12, okay?
That's what I'm saying. She's probably aged considerably.
Finding 67 cents a day wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be at the age of 12, but my heart was in it. I maintained it for about a year, and I unfortunately have lost touch. But perhaps her grandchildren now will be on the receiving end.
They might be a fan of Ping.
They very well might be, and if not, now they'll have a laptop they can watch.
Oh, fantastic. Everything's just coming into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go.
When I was 12, I was just learning about computer stuff so I could start a business at 15.
Yep, I was saving the world. It's the difference between you and I.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that is thankfully the end of this bitter animosity-filled, just spiteful episode.
No, we're not even done yet. Yes. My snippiness is not over.
Right. So Paul has mentioned that in his infinitely expanding ego, he would like to have a contest.
There's just so much ego that I can have.
Yes. Well, it's amazing how it just gets bigger and bigger. Pretty soon there's not going to be any room in the room left for Paul with his giant head. So Paul has proposed a contest to see which one of us can get an additional 500 followers on Twitter first.
Now, I mean, it's really not a contest. It's no contest. It's just I'm going to do it.
Okay. So I currently have 1,247. So when I reach 1,747, I will be proclaimed the winner, at which point there will be consequences for you. These are to be determined, but I'm thinking some sort of shirtless dance I would like to have on stage. Go ahead, Paul.
You can dance with your shirt off all you want.
You will be dancing, and there might be pies in the face. I could have some seltzer bottles at home.
We'll need to figure out what that's going to be. Because
so
I would feel guilty of smashing a pie in your face if you're shirtless.
You'd love it. So how many followers do you have right now,
I have
Paul?
683. So basically, I need to get where you are right now.
Not even as close.
Yeah. So I need 1,183. And that would allow me to win at that point.
So if you're not already following me,
you should follow me.
Jump on
Paul Mess.
At Elfoy.
At Paul Mess.
Have all your friends follow me. Recommend everyone you know that they follow me so I can win this competition, get it over with, and we can all humiliate Paul and then hopefully take that video and just blast it all over YouTube.
I think you
to
know
his
that
family,
I am far more creative and funnier. So if
I
win
this,
I wouldn't already have twice as many followers as you.
Well, twice as many followers.
You do have your own Wikipedia entry, which I don't have.
This is what I'm saying. You can't compete. So. And that will all be proven. So follow me at Elfoy.
At Paul Mess.
Wait.
Yeah, I can get this close to it.